It's so good to see everybody today. I mentioned last week how nice it has been for me, and I know it has for you as well, to have a variety of lessons that we have not had and so kindly and skillfully brought. I'm going to be missing getting to sit in on Josh's lessons, but I'm also anxious to preach for these next 6 months or these next 5 months and 3 weeks, and I've certainly been enjoying the song service. The only real criticism that I have had of Josh so far is that when he came down from singing, he came down on the other side that I always go up on. So if I'm confused the whole way, it's because my whole world has been thrown off because of that. Great song service. Appreciated the prayers this morning as well. And certainly the men who served on the table, Luke, what a kind prayer, thoughtful prayer. Really appreciate that. Great to see our young men developing in such strong and good ways. Again, it's good to see each one of y'all here. I'll state to begin with this point. This is one of those sermons that's not a whole lot of fun to prepare, and so I don't think it's going to be a whole lot of fun to hear, but it's one I believe that we really need to be thinking of in our day and age. And I'm going to be talking about some topics that are happening within our society right now that in ways they need to be approached with what we were talking about last week with balance. We don't need to get too carried away, but we don't need to ignore them either. When I was growing up, with rare exception, nobody thought about sending or keeping their kids home and teaching them, homeschooling them. That would have been a silly thing to do. Unless you lived way out somewhere and you needed them to work on the farm, you wouldn't have even considered something like that. When my kids were growing up, it was starting to become a thing because parents were starting to be concerned with some of the things that their children were exposed to. It wasn't a great scale, but it was gradual. It was coming along, and things were being taught within the schools that, quite frankly, really were not the business of those who were teaching it. They were things that parents needed to be addressing. They were things that God has already addressed and was more than capable of providing the instruction on. Now, it's different. I remember when I heard that my son and daughter-in-law were intending on homeschooling, my thought was, big mistake. And then the more that I've watched him, I've thought, you may have something there. Our society seems to be coming unfrayed right now. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering." Do you believe that? Do you believe that your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion? Or do you think that's just something to scare children with? Because the more and more I watch and observe, it truly does appear that Satan is loose. And it also appears that we're going along with him. And instead of protecting ourselves, protecting our children from him, we seem to be letting our children go out and pet the lion to get close to sin and to sinfulness. I think it was maybe a little over a year ago, maybe it's about a year ago, that in Canyon, Texas, heart of the Bible Belt, they had a festival in the park. It was a festival of homosexuals. It was a festival of men pretending to be like women, where you could come to the park with your children and have a fun day. You could rub elbows with them and you could talk to your children about how important it was not to discriminate against these men dressed like women. They were actually performing lascivious acts, and children were part of that, and the parents were there proud of it. Just a few months ago, the college, some of the people decided they would have a special day for homosexuals. A specific type of homosexual. Homosexual, again, that's a man dressing like a woman. And the president of the college, of the university, to his credit, said, we're not going to do that. We are not going to lend the prestige of the university to that. You want to do that privately? You do that privately, but no. That's not going to be part of the university. And he has had his head ripped off just about. Have you supported him at all? Have you been praying for him at all? I know some of you have. Right now, they just had a vote of no confidence by the faculty. If I was sending my kids there, and I found out that I was paying for my child to go to one of those classes where one of those faculty said, we will not tolerate somebody who will not embrace homosexuality and perversion, I'd pull my kids out of that. I wouldn't pay for that class. We have a number of our older ones that are gone today, but we have most of our young people here, and I'm really glad that we have most of our young people here because this will affect you more than anybody. First of all, my generation has failed you miserably. We haven't taken righteous stands when we should have taken righteous stands. We haven't spoken out when it would have been uncomfortable to speak out. But when we were in the vast majority, where we could say this is sin, and you cannot be doing this around our children. Public libraries all over America are inviting men who in the past, their main claim to fame was performing certain types of acts, lewd acts, within bars for homosexuals, and now they're inviting them into the public libraries to read to our children. Schools are inviting them to come in and read to our children. And I have to ask you, if you're a parent, what would possess you to allow your child to go to school that day? What is wrong with your study of the Word of God that would permit you to say, well, that's just the way it is. I don't want to get involved. Look at Isaiah chapter 6. Dave was in here this morning, and it really is an important passage. Let me back up into chapter 5. My people go into exile, verse 13, for lack of knowledge. Their honored men go hungry. Their multitudes is parched with thirst. Sheol, that's death, has enlarged its appetite and opened its mouth beyond measure. The nobility of Jerusalem and her multitude will go down. Her revelers and he who exults in her men man is humbled and each one is brought low. The eyes of the haughty are brought low, but the Lord of hosts is exalted in justice. The Holy One shows himself holy in righteousness. Then shall the lambs graze in their pasture, and the nomads eat among the ruins of the rich. And then notice this part. Woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of falsehood, who draw sin as with rope, who say, let us be quick, let him speed his work that we may see it. Let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw near, and let it come that we may know it. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. This is what's happening right now. We are taking sin and we are saying it is not sin. Sin is defined by God. And we are saying, not we, but mankind is saying he is wrong. They have weighed God in the balance and they have found him to be lacking. And they have judged him as being evil. Because he has said sin is sin. And anyone who dares to take a stand with God is getting pulled into it. That's not comfortable, is it? We got things to do with our lives. We're busy people. It's a lot easier to not say anything than to take the slings and the arrows of the world. And sometimes when we do say something, we say so in such an unloving and uncharitable fashion that we repel even the righteous from a righteous position. When it says, woe to those who call good evil and evil good, woe is a curse. Or it's an excessive sorrow that comes about as a curse. Just as blessing is something that brings joy, a curse is something that brings woe. And so he says, woe to those who call good evil. You'll be cursed if you take a stand with this unrighteousness. You cannot be blessed for that. You may get by for a while. You may be more comfortable and more cozy by not saying anything and not standing up to wicked men. But you're doing two things. You're allowing wicked men to think that they're right when the path that they are on is destructive. Do we not love people enough to see that they're in danger when they're going down a sinful path to say, this is wrong? I remember, I love the cartoon Calvin and Hobbes, which is why I love Calvin. Because he reminds me a lot of him. There's one there, he's in the driveway with a picket walking, or a sign, and his dad is pulling in from work, and the sign reads, love the sinner, hate the sin. And the dad goes, uh-oh. I think we've gotten comfortable with the sin. But sometimes I think we go to the other extreme and we hate the sinner. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The world. That includes these men who are dressing up in dresses who want to hold your children. Jesus died for them. And we need to love them enough to say, you can't do this. But having said that, these are adults. These are people who should know better. You know what Israel was punished for more than anything? In the 2 Kings, it talks about God destroying Judah, the Judah portion of Israel. Israel had already been carried into captivity, but Judah was, and it was for the sins that Manasseh had done, and they were a multitude of those sins. But he specified, including the shedding of innocent blood. What they were doing was they were taking their babies and they were sacrificing them to idols. They were killing their unwanted babies and calling it worship, calling it noble, calling it right. And God punished them for that. Young parents, I know you've got things that are challenging beyond anything that I had to face when I was a young parent. But may I say this? If you allow your child to go in the presence of perversion, what difference is there between your taking your child and sacrificing him to Baal or Molech? Because you are certainly sacrificing your child. And you are not protecting them as they need to be protected. In Isaiah, God asked, in chapter 6 and verse 8, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and say to this people, keep on hearing but do not understand, keep on seeing but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. God is not saying, you just go ahead and go to hell. What God is saying is, if you're going to go ahead and do that, then go ahead. He doesn't want it. He has done everything he can. He has begged, he has pleaded, he has punished men throughout history when they wouldn't listen to the begging and the pleading to stop their sin. But there comes a point where people just will not hear righteousness anymore. And God at that point will turn us over to our iniquity and say, go ahead. Don't listen to me. Don't see what righteousness is, but there is a penalty for that. You want to see the penalty? Here's what Isaiah says. After Isaiah said, I'll bring the message. What message? Verse 11. Isaiah said, how long, O Lord? Is this going to happen? And he said, until the cities lie waste, without inhabitant, and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste, and the Lord removes people far away, and forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. And though a tenth of it remain, it will be burned again like terebinth on an oak whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump. And then chapter 7, verse 8, the latter part, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. There are things in life that aren't fun. There are things in life that are hard. There are things in life that people will tease you. There are things in life that people will sue you. There will people that will do things to you that will cause you to turn the other cheek because God has so commanded. But can I tell you what we've done? If somebody insults us, we don't take it. We don't turn the other cheek. But if somebody holds God as unholy, we turn the other cheek on God's behalf. You remember what Jesus did when that happened in the temple? You cannot turn the other cheek on God's behalf. You have to take a stand for God. You have to say, you cannot do this anymore. And when it comes to children, you remember what Jesus said? You cause one of these little ones to sin, it'd be better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and cast into the sea. I don't know about you, but I've been in a position in my life before where I thought I was going to drown. And it wasn't comfortable. And Jesus said, it'd be better for you to drown yourself than to cause one of these little ones to sin. And if we're not protecting our little ones, we're causing them to sin. And we're not just endangering their lives, we're endangering their eternal souls. Can you bear that? So what do? When wicked people want to do wicked things, and they're off on their own, I don't think we can stop them. I don't think we go into their bedrooms. I don't even think we go into their bars. But when they bring sin out into the public square, and you and I say nothing, when they bring sin into the parks and we say nothing, when they bring sin into the schools and want to be around our children and we say nothing, what's wrong with us? I watched a video the other day. It was a teenage girl that was being exposed to a vile, lewd act by a man, a big man, in a dress. I don't know if she was late high school or early college, but I can tell you this. There were adults present within that room, and they were applauding this man's lewd act upon this girl. Nobody thought of arresting this man. Nobody thought of complaining about this. Well, I won't go that far. But it was just allowed to happen. People have been bringing their children to places where these men are performing, and they're allowing them to put dollar bills. I won't complete that. What's wrong with us? If you don't stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Our schools are afraid of it. They're afraid they'll get sued. They have insurance for that, by the way. But if they allow sin in the school, they need to be sued. Here's what we can do. The teacher permits that, we get that teacher fired. We demand it to be done. If the principal won't do it, we demand it to be done. If the superintendent won't do it, we demand it to be done. If the school board will not take care of it, then we call for a special election. If we can't do anything, we pull our kids out of the school. You should have already done that during the days that this was happening. It's not just for this. It started by us putting up with God being questioned in school. And they started teaching a godless evolution, trying to prove that there was no God and therefore there were no morals except for yours. And it is built and it is built and it is built to the point where things that are happening today would not have happened 20 years ago, wouldn't have been stood for. And now it's the ones who stand up and say, don't do this, that are in trouble. If you can't get it pulled out of the school, you pull your kids out of the school. I know that's expensive. I know that's going to take your time. But may I say this? Your child's soul is worth it. I hope that doesn't happen in Happy. I doubt if Happy, something like that's going to happen for a while, but I'm shocked at some of the things that already are happening. Say something. Take a stand. And then understand this. Jeremiah chapter 18. This is the good part, and I'll get back to the good part. Is that heavy-handed enough? I did not mean that to be that way, but I do want you to know our children are precious. Our nation, for what it stood for, is precious. We can get that back, but we're doing it backwards. We're voting for leaders to take care of our problems. You have to start with you. You get the knowledge that you need, and then you take it to your family, and then you take your family to worship, and the church takes care of it, and the church takes care of the community, and the community takes care of the school, and the school takes care of the nation. We've got it backwards. You get your heart right, get your life right. I'm as guilty as anyone for staying silent when I should not have been silent. We can't afford to be silent anymore, nor can we afford to be unloving. Look at this, Jeremiah chapter 18. The word of the Lord came to me. Verse 5. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Can I not take the clay in the potter's hand? If at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom, thou pluck it up and break it down and destroy it, if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I intended to do to it. And if any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom, I will build it and plant it, and if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I'll relent of the good that I had intended to do to it. Now, therefore, say to the men of Judah and the inhabitants, thus says the Lord, behold, I'm shaping disaster against you and devising a plan against you. And he talks about the destruction he's going to bring. But then he says this in verse 18. Excuse me, not verse 18, verse 19. Hear me, O Lord, and listen to the voice of my adversaries. Should good be repaid with evil? Yet they've dug a pit for my life. This is what Jeremiah is saying for what they've done to him. Let me back up again to chapter 17 now. Verse 24. If you listen to me, declares the Lord, and bring in no burden by the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but keep the Sabbath day holy and do no work on it, then there shall enter by the gates of the city and the kingdom princes who sit on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, and their officials and the men and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the city shall be inhabited forever. I'll talk more about this tonight, but the point is this. If we will do God's things in God's way, He will rescue us, including our nation. If we will not, He'll punish us, including our nation. And we'll lose our children. In Ezekiel chapter 18, God says this, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And then He says this, repent and live. This is where we stand. God does not hate the sinner, but God hates the sin. And when you and I put up with the sin, and when you and I allow righteous men and righteous women and innocent children to suffer because we're not willing to take a stand, woe to us. But if we'll take a righteous stand, we can not only save our innocent children, we can not only save our nation, but we can save those who are so involved in their sin right now. God has done that for us. God has given us a second chance. I'm not saying that we hate these sinners that are committing these acts of perversion, but I am saying that we don't stand for it any longer. That in love we do something about it. Someday we're going to heaven. Until that point, we've got work to do. And sometimes it's hard and sometimes it's unpleasant, but every bit of it's worth it. We'll talk more about this tonight, but please be thinking about these things today. Now, I know this has not been a particularly evangelistic lesson, but you may be ready to become a Christian today. If that is the case, we would be thrilled to hear your good confession. We'd be thrilled to baptize you and have your sins washed away. If you have any need, won't you come forward and let that need be known while we stand and sing?